star out. Turn to Ephesians. We're still going through the armor of God, the whole armor of God. I'm not necessarily going to recap, but there's a truth that I want you to understand. Everybody has armor on. Everybody grows up developing this sense of something that, hey, I am going to develop this thickness, or going to develop something that says, you're not going to hurt me. It's a reflex action. It's a natural thing. When we work with our hands, calluses develop on our hands. Why? Because it's protecting itself from the work that you do. So we do that with our emotions. We do that with the things that happen. And so we develop this hardness or thickness or whatever is going on. We develop an armor. And what is happening is that we develop an armor that's developed by the world. And so then we come to Christ, and all of a sudden he says, I have an armor for you. And we went through the belt of truth. And now we're going to get into the breastplate of righteousness. In the breastplate of righteousness, I'll have to tell you that there's come a revelation to me. I have always considered righteousness as a thing of right and wrong. And so the place of right and wrong is a place of death. And you're going, well, what does that mean? I mean, how can that be right and wrong be death? Well, the issue is when we live by right and wrong, we live by the law. The law is very definite. It is like either you drive 55 or you don't drive 55. I'm either right or I'm wrong. And so we grow up with a set of rules. And those set of rules are good for a time. And the law was given to the Jews, so what? So that they would live. I mean, they had to have a set of rules because they didn't know any better. And so God set these rules up and said, look, don't eat these things, or don't do this, or don't do that. You know, and so they said, look, these are laws that you need to live by. But as when Christ came, he says, we're going to do things differently. And that doing things differently meant we're going to live by faith. And that changed everything. We had to live righteously with righteousness. And so there had to be a whole different way of thinking. Now, in the different way of thinking, I'm going, I don't know that I necessarily know how to do that, especially as a new Christian, especially just starting out. It's interesting that the Bible, which is written to Christians, actually says, those of you who steal, don't steal. And you're talking to Christians, right? Why would Christians be stealing? Because they needed rules. they needed help. It's interesting. Those who live a sexually immoral life don't do that. What? Those who were doing things that were, don't get drunk. Now, you're going, who does that? People who haven't been Christians. We have an expectation that just because they had this label of Christian, that they live like Christians. That's not true. In fact, it says you need to be saved. You need to work out your salvation. That's different. That's something that says, I'm going to screw up. I'm going to make messes. So what does that mean? That means I can't live under this condemnation. Condemnation is from the devil. Conviction is from God. People will judge you. God will help you. Get that? People will judge you, but God will help you. So, when you come into this place of right and wrong, and people look at you, oh, you said you were a Christian, and I saw you the other day, and you did this, and ooh, you're bad. You're right, man. I can't hold that standard 24/7. But I am righteous unto Christ. You see, in a minute, I'm about to tell you some things that is going to come, that we live by faith. And that's a whole different set of living. And to Abraham, it was counted unto him as righteousness. Now, how do we get on that plan? You know? Jimmy had this, we hung out together back when he had this computer job. And he said, I got to drop by the bank, and he had this check. And he said, I got to deposit this check. And I was with him. I said, he deposited it. And I said, wow, how do I get on that plan? You know, you got to have this job. You got to have the knowledge. And you got to have, I didn't have that. That's the issue here. There are benefits in God that we're not using. There are things that God has for you that we live under self-condemnation daily because we have this thinking that, oh my gosh, I did not live like I was supposed to live today. And I have this burden that I'm going, and God is not happy with me or pleased with me. And it's not true. And he's going, lift up your head, child. I love you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you through the Word. I'm going to help you through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to help you. And tomorrow will be better. And I'm going to send help through the Holy Spirit. I'm even going to send you help through people. So recognize the help. Okay? Verse 14. Ephesians 6, verse 14. The second part of that. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so, guess it's supposed to be from here to here. Protecting all of your vital organs. In looking through all of this, and I've read this several times. And I've read all of the benefits of all of the things of the armor. And I've realized that the armor of God comes in a kit. It's like a dining room set. If you went to Lax or whatever, and they delivered you this dining room set, and it was missing a chair, would you accept that? No. He said, take that back. I'm not accepting it. I want you to understand that the whole, that means complete armor of God is necessary for your protection. The belt, the breastplate, the feet, the shield, the sword, every part of this is necessary. And every part of it is so closely knitted together that it's almost impossible to talk about one without talking about the other. How are we going to know about righteousness without knowing the truth? Do you get it? You have to know the truth. Not only the truth that's in the Word of God, but capital T, the truth of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, the righteousness of God. Turn to Matthew 5, 6. It says, blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who want and desire that righteousness. And you're going to see why you're going to be so satisfied in just a second. Turn to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppresses the truth. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? Am I looking at it right? No. I read verse 18. Let's start from verse 16, like I said. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. It is written, the righteousness shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Those who are unrighteous, they unbuckle the belt of truth. They don't want to know the truth. Have you ever been into a discussion when they talk about, when you start talking and you give them some scripture and they go, but I don't believe that. Well, you have nothing to talk about. Discussion over. It was interesting. There's this really popular science guy. He's used by all the three networks, and when they talk about, he's the brilliant man. But he doesn't believe in God. And Larry King, who has been saved, and he's interviewing this very popular science guy, and he goes, "Do you want to live forever?" He asked Larry King this question, and Larry King says, "Yes." And the guy starts laughing. He goes, "Discussion over." He's going, "I have nothing to say to you." Because his point was, when you die, your body goes into the earth and the worms eat you. And he's going, Larry King was saved, and he knew that he was going to live forever. He knew he was going to go to heaven. He knew his body wasn't just this. When you talk to someone who doesn't understand God, and you cannot understand God without faith, there's no way. There's no explanation for God. You have to believe in it by faith. You have to say, "Who made the earth?" It takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang Theory than it does in a God who created it. Right? All of a sudden, there was this huge bang, and all of a sudden, Earth was created. And then, there was these little cells, and they became like little tadpoles, and then they became frogs, and then all of a sudden, they came out of the ocean, and they began to walk, and then they grew feet, and then it became a monkey, and then it became a gorilla, and then it became a human, and then a man over these millions of years. Evolution. Oh my gosh. Really? It takes a lot more to believe in that than it does to believe in God. But they do. Why? If you read on in Romans, it says, God's creation, that God, it is so undeniable that God exists, that they say, we refuse to believe it, and they became foolish. Read the rest of it. Read it for yourself. And go, wow. Turn to Matthew 5:20. Right where you were a while ago. Now this is interesting. Let's go back to the right and wrong thing. Because when I read this, I went, there's no hope for me. Matthew 5:20. And he's still talking. This is still the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is still telling them. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This scripture bothered me so much. Because, you know, I heard about the scribes and the Pharisees. The Pharisees, man, they knew the law. And they did the law. I mean, letter for letter. And they were very judgmental. Ooh, you didn't dot that I. You didn't do this. It's exactly right. And man, them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus is telling them this. He says, if you don't exceed them, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm going, well, what chance do I have? Because I can't do it. I really can't. I knew that. I knew. And honestly, I thought it was a roll of the dice. You know, I'm just going to live this way. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And I'm going to do this and just hope I get there. It was really my mindset. Hope I get there. I maybe just didn't have an understanding. Well, that was true. I said, so what is all this about? But it's not about right and wrong. It was about hearing God and obeying Him. That was the situation. That was the issue. The Sadducees and the Pharisees didn't hear God or ignored God. Let me put it that way. Because when Jesus came on the scene, they said, are you the Messiah? And he clearly said he was. He had all the issues. He was doing miracles. And they were going, are you really? John the Baptist. I mean, he was the forerunner of Jesus. He was captured. Let's paint the scene for you. King Herod, I think it was King Herod. King Herod had this huge party. Everybody's drunk. Everybody's having a great time. Woo! He gets drunk. And then he tells his daughter, whatever you want in the kingdom, I'm going to give it to you. He never dreamed that this would happen. His wife tells his daughter, ask for John the Baptist's head. He's going, you said anything I wanted. Okay. So John the Baptist is put in prison. He's about to have his head cut off. John the Baptist, the person who baptized Jesus, he's about to be the martyr. And what does he do? He tells his disciple, go ask Jesus if he's really the disciple, if he's really the Messiah. I'm sorry. Are you really the Messiah? Don't you think it's a little late now? I mean, right now, really? But he had to know. I'm about to give my life for this. Jesus would have just like said, tell him yes. Tell him I am the Messiah. I mean, that would have been the right thing to do, right? But that's not what Jesus did. You know what Jesus did? He says, tell him that the lame walk and the blind see. Tell him of the miracles that I have performed. There was evidence all around that he was truly the Messiah. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everyone around had plenty of evidence that Jesus was the Messiah, and they denied who he was. And when he said, I am the Son of God, they said he was blaspheming God. And so that was the charge against him. hang him. Crucify him. And I'm supposed to live up to their standard. Isn't that an interesting scenario here? So I should follow the law like they do? I should do right and wrong like they do? Be very careful here. Be very careful here. God had us go through Galatians, okay, for a reason. And the reason He had us go through Galatians was why? It was all about the law. Galatians told us that we should be careful. That the law was death. And so let's not forget what God has already taught us. Let's not forget the groundwork that God has given us here. We don't want to go back to the law. The law makes our heart hard. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, makes us have a heart of flesh. Makes us have a heart for people and for God first and for people. Sharon said last night during prayer, she brought out this, we were talking about some things, and she said, What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. And to love thy neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment is to love everything that's going on around you. God first, and people second. Righteousness. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I know it's in my Bible. 2 Corinthians 5. Up in 16, it says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. That's an interesting verse there, isn't it? We do not regard anyone according to the flesh. You think that's what happened in Charlottesville? Sad. And both sides claimed to be speaking for God. We'll get to this later on. Down in verse 21. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become what? This is so good. So that we may become the righteousness of God. Wow. Do you see what's going on here? Claudia, look at you. You look in the mirror. When you look in the mirror in the morning, you're probably going, oh, I got sleep in my eye, I got bad breath, my hair is all messy. But what you should be seeing is you are the righteousness of God. What's looking back at you is the righteousness of God. Isn't that amazing? Why is she the righteousness of God? Because she's so good. Because she's so pretty. Because she does everything right. Because she's perfect. None of those reasons. Because she said yes to Jesus. Because she hears Jesus. Because not only does she hear Jesus, because she obeys Jesus. That's it. When he asks for righteousness, all he's asking for is to hear and obey. That is what makes us righteous. When it was counted unto Abraham as righteousness, it was counted to him because he heard God to go. Abraham, go. And he went. His obedience was counted unto him as righteousness. Understand this. There are many ways to react to different circumstances in your life. Many, many, many ways. Many biblical ways. But he's not asking you to react by principle. Oh, well, the Bible says this, so that's what you should do. He's asking you to react according to what you hear him say. Well, wait a minute. How do I know it's God? By faith. Well, what if I'm wrong? By faith. Anything that you do, even if you're wrong, God covers you. How many times have I been wrong? And God said, we'll get it right. Oh, man. I've made financial decisions that have been wrong. And I asked before, God, should I do this? Oh, I was wrong. That didn't turn out good. It's okay. That's why we have a Redeemer. He comes in and he fixes my stuff. He wants to. He wants to fix your stuff. That's the greatness of our God. What he wants is for you to rely on him. Can we do that? What he does not want, what he sees as wickedness, is when you don't rely on him. When you think you know better. When you ignore him. You know the parable of the talents? He gave some. Two talents, he gave some. Five talents, he gave another one. 10 talents. And he gave the one that he got 10 talents, he took and he made 10 more talents. And the one that had 5 talents, he went and he made 5 more talents. And then the one who had 10 talents, he took and he buried those 2 talents. And he came back. The one who gave it to him. And he said, the one who did 10 talents, he says, that was great. You did wonderful. I'm going to give you 10 cities to rule over because of what you did. And the one who did 5, I'm going to give you 5 cities to rule over because of what you did. But the one who did just 2. He went and dug them up and he handed him back the 2 that he had given him. And you know what he says about him? This is interesting. Because he doesn't say, well, thank you for the 2 that I gave you. You just gave them back to him. He doesn't say that. He says, you're a wicked man. really? He says, you're a wicked man. Why would he be so harsh with that man? Because he did not lean on him. He didn't trust in him. Do you get it? You see, that's what God wants. Last week I talked to you about God says he wants to be all subject, all in all. God wants to be everything in everything. He wants to do that in us. He paid for it. He made it. Everything is his. Right? Right? Why wouldn't he? I don't know. We should be. We should be all in. In 2 Corinthians, we do become the righteousness of Christ. We hear his voice. And we obey. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What's he talking about? Are we worried about what we're going to have? Where are we going to live? Carmen called us this past week. This is interesting. Carmen called us this past week, and the family that she's living with told her, you got to move out. Okay? You have 2 weeks. Labor Day there. My son and daughter, their 4 or 5 kids are moving back in. So you got to move out. Okay. So she's scrambling a little bit, saying, where am I going to live? I said, well, we do have a tent, and you have a sleeping bag, and so, you're set. There's plenty of bridges. I think you can make it. And she goes, thanks, Dad. Does not the word says, give no thought of where you shall sleep or what you shall eat? She has no worries. Who wouldn't want Carmen to stay at their house? I'm just telling you, that's my thinking. You know, I might be prejudiced, I might be a little biased, but hey, she's going to land on her feet because she's so great, because God is so good. I believe that. So, you know, the reality is, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things are going to be added unto you. What he's saying is, we take care of his business, he's going to take care of our business. If we take care of his business, if we look to say, God, what do you want me to do today? What is it that you want me to take care of today? Let me know who you want me to talk to. Let me know how you want me to represent you in every situation. He's going to take care of us. He says, consider the lilies of the field. Consider, do they worry about how pretty they're going to look? Do they worry about this or that? Do they worry about that? No. They don't. Do we? I want to confess, I, at times, have worry. That's just me. How am I going to make my next car payment? How am I going to pay for college? How am I going to do it? How am I going to do that? The reality is, I've never missed a payment. I've never had to struggle. Never. Is it because? I'm laughing because my next statement. Is it because I'm a financial whiz? No. I'm telling you, people, I do not know, other than God, how I became a branch manager of a credit union. I'm just telling you. There's no other way. There's no other way. I was telling somebody, I've never gone to college to be a branch manager. And they went, really? Yeah, really. Never been. Sharon's never gone to college to be what she's doing. Really? God. God will open doors that no man can shut. I'm going, God will open doors. When I got that job, I was trying to shut that door. You wouldn't believe how hard I tried to shut that door. And he kept on saying, nope, you're not going to do it. I went, okay. Romans 3. Starting with verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. Go down to verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There it is. And in Chapter 10, it said they wanted their own righteousness. If you ask people, why? Why are you going to heaven? Most people say, well, you know, I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go with girls who do. That's not good enough. They say, I do all right. I'm not a bad person. It's not good enough. People can't get there on their own righteousness. It can only be through the righteousness of Christ. So, when it says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, what is he saying? Hear and obey. That's it. Hear and obey. Well, you say, I don't hear. Just sit still a little bit. Read the word and sit still a little bit. And let him talk. Okay? Now, if for some reason before I came here, I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And didn't mean I didn't hear God. It just meant I didn't have a very important tool in my life. But I came here and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when I did, the amplification of hearing God turned up. I went, wow. The Word of God came alive. And so, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you would like to, come talk to me or Jimmy. And we will pray. Or you just ask the Lord directly. I know people who ask for the Holy Spirit one night, and they woke up speaking in tongues. There's no magical recipe. There's just a desire. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He will satisfy you.
I'll just reiterate what he just finished saying. The Holy Spirit comes on you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes according to your heart and according to your cry. It can come through men praying for you, but also come from your cry to God. Lots of examples of how it happened in the New Testament. When I see multiple examples of how something happens, I think God's saying, I'll do it any way I want to. So you ask for it, and you'll receive it. But you want someone to pray for you. We're always willing. I've been sitting here debating on whether I was going to say anything about this. And here's let me explain why I'm going to say what I'm going to say. When I'm preaching, when I teach, there are many times over the years that I have made a mistake on how I said something. And I go home and I say, oh, I can't believe I said, oh, I hope they figure that out. So I'm just going to tell you that Arthur, instead of mixed metaphors, he did a mixed parable a few minutes ago. The same principle applies. It doesn't matter how he said it. But I know people who have in the past ignored all the good when they hear something odd or off or whatever, and they'll say, well, that is what I'm going to pay attention to. All right? So the parable of the talents.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There is a parable of the minas and a parable of the talents. The minas, there were 10 given, and the cities that ruled over, and the talents, there were the 1, 2, and 5 talents. Read them both. Luke 19, Matthew 25. Go back and read them both this afternoon. Get it. Get the principle of both of them. The same principle applies. The same principle. Anyway, I hope that's okay. Minas, M-I-N-A, that's pounds in King James. Minas in the NET. I don't know what the Amplified says, but it's like 100 shekels or something like that. Anyway, a lot of money. Okay, they were given a lot of money. 10 of them each given 1 mina. Okay, anyway, go back and read those. I hope that's okay that I brought that, because I've done it over and over the years, and it really irritates me when I get home and think, oh, I can't believe I said it that way. So anyway, there you go. Now you have an assignment. Read Luke 19 and Matthew 25. Read them both. All right? Because the minus one is kind of unusual. It's kind of obscure. You don't hear that one a lot. You hear all about the talents, but okay. That's it. That's